Wisconsin Council of the Blind and Visually Impaired 2024 Annual Report. Read by Council Volunteer Sarah Warbeckis. Empowerment, Independence, Dignity. Mission: to promote the dignity and empowerment of the people of Wisconsin who are blind or low vision through advocacy, education, and vision services. Values: inclusivity, integrity, and uncompromising respect are the core values that guide the Wisconsin Council of the Blind and Visually Impaired in fulfilling our mission. We foster long-term relationships grounded in these values with our partners, clients, sister organizations, donors, policymakers, and the public. A message from the Executive Director and the Board Chair. Photos of Denise Dress and Nick Sinrim. Throughout its history, the Council has strived to work with people with vision loss to improve their lives, to gain or sustain employment, to remain healthy as they age, and to live independently and with dignity. We've understood that access to more robust collective information about our population would enhance our efforts. Since 2022, the Council has gained access to game-changing data about the people we serve through our membership in Vision Serve Alliance. First came a big data report outlining the demographic and health concerns of adults aged 65 and older who are blind or low vision. In 2024, a companion report was published covering the working age population ages 18 to 64. These reports, coupled with anecdotal information, have guided our strategic efforts in providing vision services, advocacy, and educational programming geared towards promoting the dignity and empowerment of adults of all ages. Here is some key data from the report on working age adults. 3.5% of Wisconsin residents aged 18 to 64, or just under 92,000 people, are blind or low vision. 48.6% of this population are currently working, compared to 74% of the general population. Over 40% of working age adults who are blind or low vision report being unable to work, compared to 5.6% of the general population. 72.5% of the working aged blind or low vision population earn less than $35,000 annually. Over 21% of this age group have not completed high school, compared to 8% of the general population. Working age adults who are blind or low vision face significant barriers, including limited transportation to and from work, insufficient specialized education and training opportunities, significant health concerns like diabetes and mental health issues, and employer bias about blind or low vision individuals' ability to succeed in the workplace. The Council has several strategic initiatives to support working age people in gaining the skills and confidence to enter or re-enter the workforce. Orientation and mobility training. Using a white cane is important for anyone who is blind or has low vision to develop confidence in navigating their interior and outside environments, but it is absolutely vital for success in the workforce. Nearly 75% of our clients participating in O&M instruction are in the working age population. Access technology training. In most employment situations, it is imperative that workers have strong computing skills. For blind or low vision workers, accessing computers, tablets, and smartphones requires using access technologies like screen readers and magnification. While access technologies are liberating for the user, they require skill to use them effectively and efficiently. Approximately 60% of our clients using our AT services are working age adults. College and Working Age Support Group. Recognizing the unique needs of people under 45, the Council facilitates a monthly support group to address the needs of people seeking employment and those who are already working. Peer-to-peer support can be a critical lifeline for sharing ideas and strategies for navigating the workplace and staying emotionally fit. we continue to see the membership of this group grow. Post-secondary academic scholarships. Recognizing that post-secondary education is a roadmap to career success and financial stability, the Council has a long tradition of providing scholarships to students seeking a post-secondary degree or technical training. In 2024, we awarded six $2,000 scholarships to students or adults returning to school who are blind or low vision. Past scholarship recipients have gone on to careers in education, health services, social work, finance, and law. Advocacy. The big data information, particularly the information on workforce participation, has been very useful for deepening our work with the Wisconsin Department of Workforce Development's Division of Vocational Rehabilitation. Leaders in the department have acknowledged after seeing the data that they didn't fully understand the scope of the challenges. We look forward to strengthening our working relationship with DVR to increase access to their programs and training opportunities and improve results for people who are blind or low vision. We are pleased to serve as a trusted service provider with them. At the Council, we believe in the dignity of work for people who are blind or low vision and are excited about how we can continue to play a critical role in opening doors of opportunity. We are grateful to our donors, grantors, volunteers, and public policy partners for joining us on this journey. Denise Jess, Executive Director. Nick Sinrem, Board Chair. Making Progress and Breaking Barriers, 2024 in Review. 2024 was another fantastic year for the Council, as events and activities new and old propelled our vision to promote the dignity and empowerment of people in Wisconsin who are blind or low vision. 2024 was a full and dynamic year for the Council across all three of our pillars, advocacy, education, and vision services, says Council Executive Director Denise Jess. The hard work of the Council staff and board, the support of our donors and volunteers, and our collaborations with many partner organizations around the state were the foundation for these successes. We started the year with a strong advocacy win as Governor Evers signed into law 2023 Wisconsin Act 114, known as Steve's Law. Named in tribute to Steve Johnson, an avid outdoors person and former member of the Council's Board of Directors, the law allows people to use a state ID to prove their state residency when purchasing things like fishing and hunting permits through the online Go Wild system. The Council had been working with state lawmakers for years to pass Steve's Law, and while there is still work to be done to create true ID equity across all areas of government, Steve's Law marked a major stepping stone toward that goal. Photo. Governor Tony Evers signing Steve's Law, a small but important step toward ID equity. A few months later, another important bill supported by the Council, Wisconsin Act 267, was signed into law. This legislation allows ABLE savings accounts, already available in most other states, to be set up in Wisconsin. ABLE accounts help people with disabilities age 45 and under save money on health-related expenses. In the spring, the Council hosted three successful educational events in a single month. We held our Advocacy Day event to help arm people across the state with the tools to work effectively with local leaders on issues that matter to them. We teamed up with the Southern Wisconsin Bird Alliance, formerly Madison Audubon, and new partner, the Aldo Leopold Nature Center in Monona, for birding by ear, which demonstrates that sound can be just as important as sight in identifying birds, and that people of all abilities can enjoy hobbies that take place in Wisconsin's wonderful natural areas. And we returned to Brick Cider in Mount Horeb for Dining in the Dark, where diners donned blindfolds to experience a three-course meal focusing on senses other than vision. Photo. Several tables of blindfolded people enjoying a meal. Photo. blindfolded diners sitting at tables enjoying a meal. In June, we continued our decades-long tradition of awarding post-secondary scholarships to students across the state who are blind or low vision. 6 students each received a $2,000 scholarship to further their education and support that progress toward their career goals. Over the summer, we gained a powerful new advocacy tool in the VisionServe Alliance's VSA Big Data Report on Working Age Adults. This second in a series of VSA Big Data reports confirmed that the Council has long known. Vision loss is more prevalent in Wisconsin than most people realize, and available vision services are not meeting the level of need. While the data is sobering, the information contained within the report is monumental in supporting our advocacy for systemic changes in our healthcare and transportation systems to promote employment success and overall well-being. In October, several members of the council staff traveled to Dodgeville for a new event, On-Site, Vision Loss Resources in Southwest Wisconsin. Each member of our Vision Services team and Executive Director Denise Jess gave presentations that introduced attendees to the services available to them and to the council's advocacy work. Staff from the Aging and Disability Resource Center, ADRC, of Southwest Wisconsin, the Talking Book and Braille Library, and the Wisconsin Office for the Blind and Visually Impaired were also on hand to provide information. The event helped affirm that people who are blind or low vision living in rural areas can live independently on their own terms with the right knowledge and support. We are grateful to the generous local foundation that funded this event. Photo: Brent Prezenka standing at a podium speaking to a group of people. Photo: 2 women standing beyond a display table smiling for the camera. October was also Pedestrian Safety Month, which includes White Cane Safety Day on October 15th. Over 36 municipalities across the entire state issued White Cane Safety Day proclamations in 2024. Along with the state of Wisconsin and Milwaukee County. Local advocates in all corners of Wisconsin continue to work tirelessly to make sure their communities are safer by working with local leaders to improve pedestrian safety infrastructure throughout their neighborhoods and communities. Photo: a Waukesha Metro bus displaying an ad featuring the council logo, a picture of a person using a white cane, and the words, "Hey, I'm walking here." In November, we once again opened our doors to the community for our annual Gallery Night event. In 2024, we featured the work of 9 artists from across the state who are blind or low vision. Turnout was great, and the art on display delighted and inspired everyone who came through our doors. Photo: people enjoying paintings hanging on the walls in the council office. We are grateful to the many individuals, Lions clubs, grantors, and businesses who contributed financially to the council throughout the year. Those gifts enabled us to provide services for every client regardless of their ability to pay, and their sponsorships provided critical resources to present excellent events and other educational outreach programming. Making a difference in clients' lives. Personal stories show the impact of council services. Using O&M skills to get out into the community. Sarah Evans loves to get outside and aims to walk 4 miles every day through the park near her home in Madison. "If I don't get outside every day, I really start to struggle," she says. Sarah is legally blind from cataracts, and before coming to the council, she would walk through the park without a white cane. She says she could manage the park trails just fine, but getting there was difficult. "Before the council, I struggled with most things," Sarah says. "I couldn't go grocery shopping on my own, and I couldn't cook. Crossing the street was pretty scary." Photo of Sarah Evans. Sarah first came to the council in the summer of 2023 looking for a white cane and help on how to use it. she was quickly connected with certified orientation and mobility specialist Brent Przenka to learn how to move safely throughout her home and her community. Brent went with her to the park near her home to build her white cane skills and master navigating the route back home and the surrounding area. Soon, Sarah began to feel confident that she could get wherever she needed to go safely. Brent, who is also a certified vision rehabilitation therapist, also worked with Sarah on daily living skills like cooking and using the ATM. Between the O&M instruction and vision rehab training, Sarah has made great strides towards real independence. "Just being able to go get groceries by myself is so amazing," Sarah says. "There is definitely a time to reach out and ask for help, but it's really empowering to know that I can do it all on my own. It makes me feel like a bigger, stronger person. It makes me realize that other things in life may not be as hard as they seem." That confidence has led Sarah to get more involved in her community. She started volunteering at the church down the road from her home, making sandwiches for people with food insecurity. While she sometimes leaves spreading the mayo to somebody else, she says she still enjoys being able to help where she can. Sarah also began to make art after attending an art class at the church. Before losing her vision, Sarah says she used to love to draw. While she can no longer draw the way she is used to, she can create a more tactile experience. She's also been experimenting with clay. More than anything, Sarah says her work with Brent has given her the confidence she needs to live her life how she wants to without fear. "We've been working on crossing the street for long enough that I almost feel silly for being so scared," Sarah says. "It just isn't scary anymore, and that's so cool for me. I walk in the park every day, and I'll run into people who say that what I'm doing is brave. But it doesn't feel particularly brave. Maybe it's just because I'm lucky to have a good teacher." Access technology is an essential job search tool. Before coming to the council, Mustafa Fadi says that he didn't have much experience using a computer. Diagnosed with retinitis pigmentosa at a young age, Mustafa says his vision has deteriorated rapidly in recent years and is now very limited. In the fall of 2023, his ophthalmologist recommended that he reach out to the council to see what services we could provide that might help him in his daily life. He was set up with certified vision rehabilitation therapist and orientation and mobility specialist Brent Przenka to learn daily living skills along with how to safely move around his community. He also scheduled training with Access Technology, AT, specialist Jim Denham to learn how to use a computer. Photo: Mustafa Fadi using his O&M skills to navigate his neighborhood. "When I first started with Jim, we had to begin by going over the keyboard and the basics of how to use the computer," Mustafa says. "Eventually, we moved on to how to use a web browser and email. Mustafa relies on a screen reader programs to help him navigate the web and email. Over time, his skills improved to allow him to use the computer independently. Because he could not afford to purchase a computer himself, he was able to borrow one from the council at no cost through our laptop loan program. With access to the laptop, he was able to practice regularly and put what he learned working with Jim into practice." One of Mustafa's top goals with his Access Technology training was to find a job. "These training sessions have been so important to me," Mustafa says. "In the modern age, you cannot really do anything without technology. Without this computer training, I would not be able to look for a job." The AT instruction has built up his skills enough that he is able to submit online applications on his own. The council also connected Mustafa with the Wisconsin Division of Vocational Rehabilitation, which has been able to connect him with potential jobs that were accessible to him. In less than 2 years working with the council's vision services staff, he is now interviewing for jobs in the Madison area. Whether he's working with Jim to beef up his technology skills or with Brent to learn how to navigate his community safely, Mustafa says he is grateful for everything the council has been able to provide. Because of the council, I no longer believe disability to mean a lack of skill, Mustafa says. Through the vision rehabilitation sessions and the access technology training, I am able to do things for myself. I used to just sit in the house all day long. Now I can go for walks on my own, apply for jobs, and live the life that I want to live. Christine Violet advocates for safety in her community. Hillsboro resident Christine Violet goes to her local public library a lot. While her vision loss keeps her from checking out many books, she can often be found working with the library staff to use their copy machine and many of their other services. But as a white cane user, she says she struggled to use the stairs leading into the library. Christine does have some usable vision, but it's hard to tell where the concrete begins and ends for each step. She says she could only use the stairs if she held the railing, a major challenge when her hands were already full with books, her cane, and anything else she brought with her. Photo: Christine Violet on the newly painted library steps. Christine noticed that she wasn't alone, that other library patrons also struggled with the stairs. When I spoke with the librarians to tell them the stairs weren't safe, they said they had never thought about that before, Christine says. They worked very fast to put in a work order and get things moving. In no time at all, the Hillsboro Public Works Department was out to paint the stairs so that they are now significantly more visible. Christine's efforts to improve access to the library is a great example of the kind of self-advocacy the council promotes. So it's no wonder that she was one of the first people to get involved in a recently launched advocacy discussion group. But advocacy is not Christine's only connection to the council. After being diagnosed with macular degeneration 3 years ago, she quickly sought the council's help in getting a free white cane. Because she can no longer drive, she got a ride from her local Aging and Disability Resource Center to our offices in downtown Madison to pick up her cane and meet with our vision services team. I've been really happy with everything the council has done for me, Christine says. Certified orientation and mobility specialist Brent Prezenka taught me how to use my white cane, and I did a lot of work with certified low vision therapist Amy Werf as well. They were all really great. Christine's favorite part of the council, however, is our monthly online support groups. Christine joined the Trailblazers Low Vision Support Group shortly after her diagnosis and attends meetings regularly. There are all sorts of people there with different levels of vision loss in those meetings, Christine says. It's great to be able to talk with others about what they are doing, especially when you live in a rural area like I do. Christine puts the council's mission into action in her own community. In addition to the library, she has now worked with 4 local businesses to make their stairs more visible and accessible for people with low vision. Sometimes it means painting the concrete by hand. Other times, it simply requires putting a welcome mat on one stair to create better contrast. The first place I worked with was the library, so that had to go through the city council, Christine says. Working with private businesses means taking a little different approach, but I'm glad that they're following through and doing it. Whether it's through advocacy advice, support groups, or vision services, Christine says the council helps her to continue to live her life independently. Everyone at the council is so friendly, helpful, and knowledgeable, she says. The council has been wonderful. 2024 by the numbers. Donors. 1,411 gifts were received from 60 Wisconsin counties and 26 states. We welcomed 207 new donors. Vision services. 21 vision rehabilitation visits. 308 access technology appointments. 157 low vision evaluations. 232 orientation and mobility visits. 164 phone consultations. Scholarships. 6 $2,000 scholarships to students across Wisconsin. Education. 67 presentations and outreach events reaching 3,049 participants. White canes, 551 canes provided to clients in 49 counties, 38 municipalities, and one county in the state of Wisconsin issued White Cane Safety Day proclamations. Sharper Vision Store, 2,179 customers from 60 counties. Volunteers, 746 hours donated. Financials, 2024 revenue, contributions, $482,666. Bequests, $257,759. Store sales, $240,304. Vision services, $24,066. Rent, $14,000. Investments, $1,033,412. Miscellaneous, $2,033. Total revenue, $2,054,240. 2024 expenses. Low vision services, $309,794. Community education, $202,110. Fund development, $137,858. Management in general, $778,709. Cost of goods sold, $214,266. Total expenses, $1,642,737. Donors, friends of the council who gave $500 or more throughout the year. Anonymous, Carol Adams. Anonymous, Linda Anderson. Mike and Susan Archer. Anonymous, Priscilla and Anthony Bedell. Margaret Beatty. Berlin Lions Club. Mike and Bonnie Callen. Paul and Sandra Christensen. David Cooley. Joanne Delforge. Delta Gamma Fraternity. Debbie Doucette. Jeffrey Fitzwilliams. Anne Forbes and Jim Lorman. Jerry and Charlene Frank. Don and Irene Golombuski. Nona Graves and Dennis Amidon. Greenville Lioness Lions Club. W. Lee Hansen. Anonymous. Loretta Himmelsbach. Patricia Hosley. William and Michelle Holcomb. Anonymous. John Hughes. Judith T. Hunter. Denise Jess and Janie Kester. Peter Kaufman. Robert Cavella. Anonymous. Marilyn and Joanne Klongland. Candace Kane. Alexis Kruger. Patricia Kruger. Lacrosse Lions Club. John and Terry Ladwig. Lake Wisconsin Lions Club. Anonymous. Martin Levy. Barbara Lockwood. Lamira Lions Club. Constance Malek. Tom and Ann Merfeld. Richard Meyer. Middleton Lions Club. Gail Morton and Mark Rooney. David Miller. David L. Nelson. Barbara Nilsson. John and Kathy O'Connor. Timothy Radlett. Melanie Ramey. Gerald Ring. James Roberts. Jeffrey and Christine Rushton. Sandra Schild. Tracy Schoenrock. Jean Schott Wagner and William Wagner. Patricia A. Schroeder. Carolyn B. Schultz. Karen Steffen. Thomas and Ellen Steinhauer. Kimberly Stepien. Judith Stolper and Eugene Hogg. Marvin Strelo. Sturgeon Bay Lions Club, Catherine and George Tassar, Roger and Lynn Van Vreede, David G. and Nancy B. Walsh Family Foundation, Wanakee Lions Club, Lori and Mark Werbeckis, Jeffrey Williamson, Barbara Winter, Karen Woy, Mary and Conrad Wierzynski, Terry Young, John and Rosalind Zeltins. These individuals have been supporters for 10 or more consecutive years. John Ackman, Carol Adams, Nuruddin Amusa, Carol Anderson, Anonymous, Virgine Anderson, Carolyn Arndt, Richard Ayers, Alice and Eric Bannier, James Bardenwerper, Stephen and Susan Baudot, Priscilla and Anthony Bedell, Sherry Becker, Bruce Bender, Steve Benton, Michael and Luann Burns, Amy Bigna, Charles and Luann Boy, Nanette and Richard Bowinski, Richard and Marilyn Borey, Stuart Brown, William and Denise Bensley, Kathleen Burr, Bonita Campbell, Ruth Chalmers, Richard and Tracy Clark. Anonymous, Computer and Networking Solutions, Sue and Don Cowan. Anonymous, Wallace Cutler, Mary Daniel, Amy D., Claire Dick, Wally and Peggy Dalma, Sally Drew, Shelley and Peter Esch, Phyllis Ermer, Rebecca Felt, Don and Marilyn Fenhouse, Joyce File, Cheryl and Robert Fine, Susan and James Fleming, James and Karen Fletcher, James Fowler, Elmer Frank, Linda Freilich, Connie Gabrilska, Francis Gasper, Rachel and Daniel Gola, Rosemary Goodrich, Nona Graves and Dennis Amidon, Greenville Lioness Club, Jeffrey Guriel, Mary Jean Hale, Susan Hansen, Karen and Dave Heeson, Anonymous, Dean and Barbara Heckel, Loretta Himmelsbach, Magdalene Hurst, William and Michelle Holcomb, James and Lucille Hornung, Thomas and Jeannie Hodevelt, Marilyn and Neil Howell, John Hughes, Denise Jess and Janie Kester, Jean Kelscher, Gary Carl, Anonymous, Rebecca and Michael Kinnear, Anonymous, Candace Kane, Warren and Janet Konopacki, Peter and Mary Kopp, Richard Krensky, Jack and Linda Kuschel, John and Terry Ladwig, Alan and Jeannie Lamers, Martin Levy, Lamira Lions Club, Arthur and Sandra Ludicky, Stuart McCauley, Sylvan Millay, Kenneth and Kay Mock, Alita McArdle, Dan Meyer, Debbie and Dan Meyer, William Michaels, Nyla Musser, Patricia Nelson, Barbara Nilsson, Jay and Linda Olson, Randall and Ann Orlikowski, Phyllis Orsburn, Brent Prezenka, Dan and Judy Peterson, Derek Peterson and Beth Esser, Anna Mae Petrusha, Ronald and Judy Phillips, Lee Pondrum, Sarah Potts, Ann Putnam Smith, Christopher Rapp, Mary Rebin, Jennifer and Greg Rice, Chris Richmond, Gerald Ring, Dolores Rollbillard, Mary and Robert Roenberg, Doug and Carla Salmon, Gladys Schaefer, Anthony Scherer, Anonymous, Tracy Schoenrock, Kathleen Schuster, Charles Schwarting, Raymond and Kathy Smurs, Michael Smith, Anthony Smirinsky, Margaret Summers, Kathy Southard, Rhonda Stotts, Maurice and Lois Stecklein, Karen Steffen, John and Rebecca Stellmacher, Michael and Takeko Stir, Kim Stein, Judy Stolper and Jean Hogg, Audrey Studrawa, Emma Thieme, Douglas Thorpe, Gary Utterberg, Carol and Richard Van Boxtel, Lee Vermilia, Bill Vilgut, The Vogel Foundation, Anita Waterbury, Lester Waters, Wenthy Davidson Engineering Co., Lori and Mark Werbeckis, Elizabeth and Philip Wellams, Margaret Williams, Barbara Winter, Gary and Sandra Yakes, John and Rosalind Zeltins, Lon and Linda Zeem. Council visionaries that have contributed $20,000 or more over their lifetime. Carol Adams, Anonymous, Loretta Himmelsbeck, Rosemary Himmelsbeck, Marvin Strelo, Catherine and George Tassar, David G. and Nancy B. Walsh Family Foundation, Margaret Williams. Items and services valued at $200+ were received from 4 Imprint, American Printing Company, Deborah Kotlos, Peggy Hager and Judy Anderson, Inkworks, Cindy Coda Jarvie, Quick Trip, Carrie Lenko, Carol Leonhart, Pam Roncone, Max Rosenbaum Estate, Sandy's Quality Estate Sales, Mona Scott Estate, Carolyn Stock, Jody and Alan Stout, Jackie Trevino, Anne Weaver. 2024 to 2025 Council Staff. Jackson Baker, Program Associate. Kate Belial Erickson, Vision Services Navigator. Susan Bosks, Administrative Assistant. Mitch Bry, Operations Manager. Heather Bugs, Administrative Assistant. Kathleen Callan, Education and Outreach Coordinator. Jim Denham, Access Technology Specialist. Bob Jacobson, Communications Director. Denise Jess, Executive Director. Brent Prezenka, Certified Vision Rehabilitation Therapist and Certified Orientation and Mobility Specialist. Debbie Rasmussen, Fund Development Coordinator. Judith Rasmussen, Program Assistant. Greg Schmidt, Store Customer Care Specialist. Nate Wedgehoft, Communications Coordinator. Lori Werbeckis, Fund Development Director. Amy Werf, Education and Vision Services Director and Certified Low Vision Therapist. 2025 Board of Directors. Executive Director, Denise Jess, Madison. Chair, Nick Sinrim, Milwaukee. Vice Chair, Melanie Ramey, Madison. Secretary, Brent Goodman, Rhinelander. Treasurer, Renee Peterson, Horicon. Liz Fryseth, La Crosse. Maggie Groshen, Stoughton. Chip Kaufman, Middleton. Michaela Mobley, Madison. Sanbrita Mondal, Middleton. Cole Torres, Menominee Falls. Terry Young, Madison. The Wisconsin Council of the Blind and Visually Impaired is a 501c3 nonprofit that derives revenue through individual donations, bequests, foundation and corporate grants, event sponsorships, client services, retail purchases, and returns on investments. Copies of this and previous annual reports are available for download via our website at wcblind.org. Back cover. Council logo. 754 Williamson Street, Madison, Wisconsin, 53713. 800-783-5213. info@wcblind.org. wcblind.org. The Council is a 501c3 nonprofit organization that relies on donations to fund our operations. Visit wcblind.org/donate or use this QR code to give via our website. This has been Council Volunteer Sarah Warbeckis reading the 2024 Annual Report.